Good Saturday afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It is indeed a great day to be in South Carolina because, now why can't I get Wi-Fi? I got four bars and no Wi-Fi. Get out of here. Anyway, I was trying to look up social media. I think it's B Cobb Fishing and then Brandon Cobb Fishing. B Cobb Fishing is on Instagram, Brandon Cobb Fishing on Facebook. Brandon is going to join us right after this break that's coming up in 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk about, because I had a cool idea about going down and doing a live remote from Brandon's house, which is kind of cool. Get Amy involved, the dog maybe, you know, just a cool setting and all that. And we talked about that after Hartwell. Well, then he, you know, Monday he just won Lake Fork, Texas Fest. So I'm like, I can't wait for a gap in his schedule, my schedule, to do a remote. So we're just going to have him on. And pretty much I'm just going to wide open, give him the show, and just talk about the season on the elites and all. What an incredible season he's had. And we're going to get into all that. So I'm not going to go there. I'll wait and go there with Brandon. How's that? But it is good. And summer's here. Got a few hours of fishing this week. There were some fish still on the bed. Caught one of them. Took me about maybe 10 minutes. She's about 3.5 pounds maybe. But she was deep. Those deep bedding fish. And when I say deep, you know, 3 feet or so. They're hard to see, especially if you're, you know, fishing a big white spot and you got grass or something around it, because they just sit in there on the dark side and you can't pick them out. But let me tell you one thing, and I don't come in here and trumpet stuff that's given to me. Most of the stuff that I get from people I give away right here on the show. But Costa Del Mar Sunglasses has put me on. You call it pro staff. I'm not a fisherman, so I'm not really pro staff. I guess I'm media staff. I don't know. They give me stuff for me to try out and all. And this year I got a couple of new pair of glasses, and one of them is the Sunrise Silver Mirror Lens. And I kid you not, and I thought I could see through the water with my green lenses and my blue lenses and everything else. These things are incredible. You can see. And that fish was 3 feet deep, and the water was just a tad murky. And I could still see that fish, even on the sides, because I could tell when she left and came back, I could tell she was on the right side, the left side, because those lenses were so good. And she was deep. I mean, she was right down on the bottom, too. So it took me about 10 minutes to get her. Tried some finesse stuff that didn't work. Nah, I went straight to the wobble head with a Strike King Rage bug on the end, and it didn't take but a couple of minutes, and she did not like that thing at all. And I was fishing on straight braid, so, man, when she thumped it, it was like, oh, that feels good. So there were a few fish still in the bed. If you're out there fishing, you might want to look around. We saw some others. A couple of fish that were rolling. Of course, you can't catch them when they're rolling. It's fun to watch, and it's exciting because they look like they're going to bite. No, they're not going to bite. At least they won't for me. But anyway, so and the trails, man, everything greened up out there. Watch for the snakes, watch for bees and stuff like that, but get out there and you can go fishing. I went trout fishing, actually. Took Taylor up to the North Mills River. I know that's not in South Carolina. It's okay. It's trout fishing. And we didn't have too good a time, but, I mean, we didn't catch anything. We had a couple on. A lot of people on the river. I guess a spring break in North Carolina, maybe. A lot of fathers and kids up there, which was neat to see. Had a bunch of, man, you could see them there again. Wearing the same glasses, I could see the trout. You could see them laying on the bottom, clear water. You know, of course, the mountain streams are clear anyway. But I had a lot of fish come up off the bottom, look at my fly, and just sink back down again. We're really frustrating. I might go back to wearing old glasses where I can't see what I'm not catching. But you can go trout fishing, man, the bass fishing, the saltwater fishing. My buddy Captain John Fuss with Holy City Fishing Charters is wearing the fish out in Charleston Harbor and the creeks and all. I actually went out past the jetties the other day. I think they caught Spanish mackerel, sheep's head, some big redfish, and false albacore. So, I mean, it was just fishing's wide open. Of course, then you got hiking you can go do. I don't know what else is there to do outside right now. Cut grass? No, you don't want to do that. That's too much work. But just look at my yard, you'll understand. But it is a good time to be outdoors. And in the vein of the outdoors, here's the calendar of events. A few things you can do outside, as always, brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pine Landing and Event Center, which just announced a big tournament coming. Gosh, I can't remember the year, and I'm not going to say it because I'll get it wrong, but it's an FLW tournament. It's coming. But DNR, of course, is putting on their fishing clinics, the fishing rodeos, not the clinics, fishing rodeos, which are free, ages 5 to 15. Bring your own equipment. They might have a little bit there if you don't have exactly what you need, but essentially you just need a Zebco 33, some corks, some hooks, some split shot, and you know, worms or whatever else, because most of the time it's catfish, trout when you come up here to the upstate for the one they have up here. And I think we went through, did we go through May the 11th last time? Yeah, we must have gone through May the 11th. So these fishing rodeos are on May 18th from 8 to 1, 9 to 12, or 9 to 3. That's a pretty cool one. Okay, so the one I was talking about that was a trout fishery, that is the Piedmont Tree Nursery in Oconee County, which is May the 18th. That's the one where you catch trout. They go in there and stock that. It's a beautiful place. If you've never been up there, a beautiful setting with the river running through the middle of the valley and all, and just a good one. That's your tree one. I mean, that's your trout one. Piedmont Tree Nursery, May 18th, Oconee County. Darlington County Fishing Rodeo, Darlington County, May 18th from 8 to 1. Foster Park Lake in Union County, May 18th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Bulls Bay Nature Festival Rodeo at Seaway Center. That one's pretty cool, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's in Charleston County. I might have to go check that one out. That could be one. No, I won't be. No, that's the weekend I'm going to be at the Roland Sportsman fishing thing down at Savannah Riverside that weekend. So, but anyway, those are some of the free fishing rodeos you can go take advantage of coming up quickly. Lake World, 35th Annual Striper Tournament, sponsored by Transmission Specialist, Owls Upstate, Italian Kitchen, Castle Controls, Mountaintop Marine, Capital City Plumbing, May 18th, Lake Murray, South Carolina, 6 a.m. to 2:30, paying first, second, third places. They can have a fish fry, door prizes. You can pick up rules and tournament application at Lake World. Weigh-ins held at Lake World, 2:30 to 3:30. Telephone number, 803-957-6548. Again, applications at Lake World down on Lake Murray. Getting close here. Paddle the Ace Basin, May 21st. Rice fields, blooming wildflowers, migratory birds. This is from Coastal Expedition. Some of the most spectacular places in the Lowcountry are only accessible by kayak, keeping these precious sites unmarred by the hands of man. It's a Blackwater tour, and so much history down there from 17th to 18th century. It's time with the tides, in case you're wondering. And they depart at 9 o'clock in the morning, wrap up by 2 a little bit later, depending on the current. And adults are 95, kids 1,275. Tuesday, May 21st, get a hold of Coastal Expeditions in Charleston. They do some great stuff. All right, like I said, when we come back from the break, Brandon, Kyle, and I, we're going to take however long we need to get through all the stuff that's going on in the series. So hang on. More Woods and Water South on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, I have these cool ideas, and we're going to do some of these cool ideas, but one of the cool ideas I had with somebody was to go to his home and have a live remote and talk about his win at Lake Hartwell, and lo and behold, in within 30 days, he's won another Elite Series tournament down at Lake Fork. So I said, I can't wait another 3 or 4 weeks. I might be another tournament behind. So he's doing this on really short notice. He told me he had about 3 hours sleep over the last couple of days, and how you know how these guys sleep during a tournament. But you got to give him a shout-out to Brandon Cobb, who joins me on Woods and Water, South Carolina today. After winning Lake Fork, I mean, Brandon, dude, first year in the Elite Series, and you're, like, taking over.
Man, it's been more than I could have. I would say super excited from the start of the year to just have the chance on the Elite Series. And I was just happy to be there, to be honest, when the season started. And now, man, it's been more than I could have ever dreamed of.
Good gracious. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure you're excited coming to Lake Hartwell. I'm sure that was like on your radar from day one when you got the invitation to fish the Elites. Did you ever think that a lake in Texas would be on your list too?
No, I never would have thought that. And even Hartwell, man. I've done real well at Hartwell over the past. But to be perfectly honest with you, it's hard to win on your home lake. And I was looking at Hartwell. I was looking at Hartwell like, well, I should probably be able to make some money in that one and do pretty good, you know. And then win that one. And the Texas one is, like, I think we've talked over the years, which I've got a lot better at it, but I don't usually do good in slug test. Like,
right.
I do better in kind of tougher tournaments.
Sure.
And it's almost, I don't feel like my style of fishing's changed, but it's kind of like where I'm getting to like the slug test tournament, which is good on bass because we tend to have slug fests. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And y'all had a real slug fest down there. My goodness.
It was unbelievable.
It makes me want to just go pay somebody to take me out on a lake for it tomorrow.
Man, there's plenty of them there to pay, by the way.
Oh, are there?
I don't think I've ever seen so many guides on the lake. It was a couple of days towards the weekend. It got a little tough to find somewhere to fish, but they were all pretty courteous, so it was good.
Well, let's, we got a lot to talk about. I know you got a little bit of sleep, so we'll get through this, but we always have a good time when we do it. All right, so got the invite to the Elites. Super excited about the season. Going in, St. John's River 20th. Now, you told me that you zigged when you should have zagged down at St. John's. What did you mean by that one?
Well, so St. John's, I had a great first 2 days. I mean, I think I was in fourth to going into the third day. And I really had like one area, basically. I mean, that's what it boiled down to. I just had one place. And the wind blew like crazy the third day, straight
yes.
onto it. And if anybody that knows about Florida fishing, they don't like wind
right.
at all.
Right.
And it gets muddy, and it kind of ruined my area. And I thought it was going to be a tough day the third day because of the wind. And basically all everybody did was went to the opposite side of the lake where the wind wasn't blowing. I guess it seemed so obvious at the time. It already seems so obvious now. But
yeah.
at the time, I felt like I needed to just find a way to catch the limit, and that wasn't what to do. So it was kind of, third day was kind of rough there, but still a good start of the year.
Yeah, 20th place. Lake Lanier right down the road here in Georgia, 14th. Expected or worse than expected?
I was definitely happy with 14th at Lanier, but it could have been a lot better tournament for me, really. I think the second 2 days, I really made a charge back. I think I was in like 60th or 70th
yes,
the first day.
You were way down.
And it wasn't like I really did anything wrong the first day. It was just one of those days where they just didn't bite for me. I mean, pretty much the second and third day, I did the exact same thing as the first day. It just didn't work the first day.
Okay.
So it was one of those, I mean, it was a good finish, not as good as I wanted, but not one I really regret anything about either.
Then you step into your backyard, and everybody knows that hometown lakes are not kind to hometown anglers, except in the case of Casey with the Classic and now you with the Elite Stop. First place, I mean, that did the lake set up like you wanted, or did the lake set up not like everybody else wanted?
Well, so that one, it set up, I thought, like, with it being that time of year, that spawn, the spawning time and, like, kind of what fish tend to do then, I was like, didn't really think that I would have any advantage whatsoever, you know.
Okay.
And then by the time practice got to going, it was bad, man. I mean, just to be honest, like, my practice wasn't good.
Okay.
And I was a little frustrated with it. I wasn't catching them. They weren't doing what I expected them to be doing. But it actually, looking back at it, it worked out good because it was really cold in practice and just not normal April conditions.
Okay.
And by the tournament, I think it had everybody kind of confused, a little, like doing weird things that you wouldn't normally do in April.
Sure.
And then by the tournament, weather got warm, conditions got about normal for April, and the fish did exactly what they always do. And that worked out good for me because I know what they always do.
It
was actually good that the weather was crazy.
And it's not like, I mean, how many times have you fished some of those points on some of those lakes and some of those pockets over the years you were a kid in college and in your profession. How many times have you fished some of those places? Hundreds?
Oh, hundreds. Probably more, honestly. I mean, I know, like, one of the BFLs I won was actually, like, I caught some of my good fish on some of the same banks I caught them in on the Elite Stop. So it was that was a cool tournament because it was like, I mean, I practiced for 3 days, but then by the time the tournament came, I kind of just said, you know what? I always catch them at Hartwell in a couple different areas. I'm just going to fish there. And it worked out.
A couple times we were sitting there, you could see Clemson.
That's right. Yep. That's my neck of the woods. Lake Hartwell was one of those lakes where you can win anywhere on the lake, but I'm just like, that Clemson area is just where I, throughout college and everything, if I had a couple hours to go, I've just fished up there so much.
Oh, man. Take a drink.
I'm losing my voice from doing so many interviews.
I'm sure. We'll take a drink. Talked about the weather a little bit. Talked about the fish stages. You know, more and more you're seeing a lot of guys, and this is what you did. You alternated between a shaky head and a wacky worm, just searching because you weren't really seeing a whole lot. I know later in the week you were keying in on some bass you found, and you would tell us in the boat, I'm going to come back to him in a couple of hours. He'll bite, and I saw you do that at least once. For people that are listening, how do you use those baits together?
So, like, that spawning time, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to catch spawning fish and fish, even blind fishing for them. I mean, a buzz bait's like topwater. You can catch them like that even. And that tournament, though, I tried to simplify it.
Okay.
Really, it was my game plan at the start. It's been, like I said, it's been a little rough week. And when they're spawning like that, they always eat a wacky rig. And the cool thing about the wacky rig is you can kind of use it like you think of a weightless wacky rig. Like, oh man, you got to fish it so slow, you know. Well, the way I fish it, I really don't.
Okay.
I use it more like a search bait. I kind of keep the trolling motor high going down the bank.
Yeah.
Now, don't ever really even fish it. I'm actually just making casts with it at likely looking places.
Okay.
And I don't even fish it. I just let it sink. I mean, you're not fishing in 3 foot of water, so it doesn't take it, but, you know, a half a second to sink a foot, 2 foot. So I'll basically just throw it to likely looking places and never really fish it. I just throw it as I'm trolling and then reel it back.
Okay.
And a lot of times those big females sitting around those beds, which are the likely looking places, I mean, are like dark spots, light spots, you know, bedding places.
Sure.
And a lot of times those big females will eat it, like, immediately before you even, like before you actually see them. And then if they don't, by the time you're trolling, if they don't eat it on the fall, then you get up there and you look down, you see the bed, and you go, oh, well, there's a 3 or 4 pounder, and you can whip around and power pole down. And a shaky head on Hartwell, you're not fishing for 7 to 8 pounders. I mean, yeah, you might every now and then. For the most part, you're fishing for 2.5 to 4.5 pounders.
Okay.
And you can handle them fine on spinning gear, and the shaky head always seems like the best way to catch them to me.
Those big females you're catching like that on the bed, are they on the bed, or are they just kind of off to the side and the male's on the actual bed?
Usually the female is off to the side. Okay. I would say like 8 out of 10 times they're off to the side, but you can actually catch the female first a lot if you don't see them yet. Like if they don't know you're there, and that, like, if it's just like you're fishing and your bait lands on them,
right?
Quite often that reaction will be from the female because the buck's locked down on the bed, right?
Right, they do.
And yeah, and he's just sitting there. So the female is kind of roaming around, cruising around the bed. Well, if a bait just flies in and sinks on them, the female is actually more likely to just shoot up there and eat it than the male actually coming off the bed to eat it.
Wow.
So that's why I like to catch them before I see it.
Okay. Well, you had all of us worried Sunday morning because when you took off and started fishing Sunday morning, you ran a couple places, and then you started fishing, you throwing topwater on points, and everybody, I mean, the spectator boats around you were like, oh, no, he's melting down. He's gone and started, and he's totally losing. He's going and doing something he hadn't done all week. What made you go throw some topwater first thing Sunday morning?
Well, Lake Hartwell, that time of year, I mean, we hadn't had a ton of spawning activity yet, but there had been enough fish spawned to where we had some post-spawn fish.
Okay.
And the heron, we were like within days of the heron spawning, and I knew it. And that last morning was the first warm night we had had. It had been kind of cold at night all week. You know, you're out there with me. I mean, mornings were pretty cold.
Yeah, they were.
And that last day, we didn't have a cold night, and I figured the heron would start spawning. And the first place I ran that that morning, I guess, the Sunday morning, the final day morning, the heron were spawning, and there were stripers all over it.
Okay.
And that kind of told me, like, it's borderline something's happening.
Okay.
And I hadn't really caught any good wayfish in the morning anyway, so I figured I'd go try to catch some. You know, if you pull up on the right point during the heron spawn, you can catch 15 pounds in 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. On five consecutive
casts. So that was my goal. That's right. So that was my goal, to just hopefully run in that. But it's funny you say that, because, you know, the typical heron fishing is kind of like a frantic style of fishing, I guess you'd say. Like, you pull up three or four casts, you're gone.
Right.
Pull up three or four casts, and you're gone. Well, so that's how I was running it. But it's funny you say that, because my cameraman, you know, he'd been riding with me for 3 days. And he knew how I'd been fishing. And all of a sudden, that last morning, it just seemed completely different.
Sure.
It looked like I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And he was freaking out. Man, you just got to calm down. I'm like, no, I'm not freaking out. This is just how you fish this, man. Like, this is normal. We'll settle down in an hour if it'll catch any.
That is good stuff.
We ended up catching nothing but stripers. But it was just my best way, I felt like, to really catch them early.
I got you. Yeah, because you told us Saturday morning that you might as not even start fishing until 10, because you didn't have anything first thing in the morning anyway.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the only decent fish I caught early was a fish I'd seen on the bed the day before to go throw straight at. And, I mean, it really didn't matter what I caught early, because I was pretty confident that I would cull them all after 10 anyway.
I gotcha. That was kind of
why I was basing kind of a different game plan that last morning.
Very good, very good. Well, hang on. Let's take a break now and come back on the other side of the bottom of the hour break and talk a little bit more about Lake Hartwell, and then we'll go on to Lake Fork. So hang on through the break. More Woods and Water South on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water South, Connor. We are we're talking to Brandon Cobb, who is now not just a new Bassmaster Elite for 2019. He is a two-time winner. Talked about Lake Hartwell a little bit. What, Brandon, just real quick, what is winning on Lake Hartwell, what has it meant to you? I know you're only 4 weeks out from it. As you look back on it, what's it mean to you to win on the home lake?
Man, so you want to win anywhere, but the home lake one was cool because it really, I feel like I got the full effect of like all my friends and all my family and everybody around here that's followed me or supported me throughout the years. You know, they actually got to like firsthand see it versus just watching it on Bass Live or watching it on Bassmasters or whatever. It seemed like I got a lot more, it was a lot bigger deal to everybody because it was close to home, you know?
Yeah. Everybody was there. I mean, the guys from Falcon were there. John here from Greenfish rode up. All your family and friends were there. That was a great, great Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it was. It was. And my mom tells me every day at our store here in Hodges, she says like 7 to 10 people still to this week come in every day and talk about it.
Just a great win. That was one for the books. I missed Thursday and Friday. I was glad to be there Saturday and Sunday. And good stuff. All right. Then you went to Winya Bay, 61st. Is that just a product of being, I don't know, consecutive weeks, don't like coastal, that tidal change fishing, or just that there just weren't that many fish to catch, period?
Well, it's a little bit of all of it. I mean, that system's got some fish, but so I got there late, number one, which I'm not blaming it on the lack of practice, because sure. I mean, I still got two and a half to two days, you know.
Okay.
And some tidal fisheries I like the Potomac River, for instance, is one of my favorite fisheries in the entire country.
Okay.
But here's the nature of the tidal fishery. This is why it's so easy to do poorly at them. When you find fish, there's a lot of fish in one place.
Okay.
But there's not that many fish in the whole area. And when there's a lot of fish in one place, they only bite at certain tides.
Right.
And so it basically makes your practice, when you only got 2 days on somewhere you're not familiar with, you more or less, on a place that big, and we had like 300 mouse fish, you've got to pick an area and just say, I think this is a good area. And you have to kind of pick it apart. And you have to pick it apart even more, because if you think you find an area that's got a few fish, not only do you have fish at low tide, you have fish at high tide. Not only do you have fish at outgoing tide, you got fish at incoming tide.
Right.
So basically what it came down to is I picked an area that I thought was good, and it wasn't. I mean, that's just flat out how it was. I don't think anybody in the entire top 40 was fishing within 10 miles of them. it was just kind of one of those things. It was bad decisions, but it was just like, it was like I just picked the wrong area to fish. That's all it was.
That is a spread out fishery.
It is. And looking back, I mean, so I went to the Cooper River in practice, pre-practice, and actually the first day I got down there, I didn't get down there till like 2:30 the first day of practice.
Okay.
And I went to the Cooper, and the Cooper was the best. From 2:30 to 6 the first day of practice, I caught more fish than I caught the other 2 days in the Winyah side.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't make myself make the 200-mile run. I just couldn't do it. And I with the situation in point, I knew the Cooper was going to dominate.
Sure.
Obviously it was Stetson 1 in the Waccamaw side.
Right.
But for the most part, I would say 75 to 80% of the top 40 were probably in the Cooper.
Right.
And it was just one of those things where I felt like I could hold my own on the Winyah side, but probably not top 10, but hold my own, and it just didn't work out. But looking back, I definitely wish I'd have went on and made the run, even with less time to fish.
That run is just got to be brutal. It's got to be brutal, because in the spring, the last two times I've been here in the spring, the morning run is not that bad. The intercoastal smooth, Crossing Winyah is not too bad. Charleston Harbor is not bad early in the morning. But, boy, as that sun heats up and the wind starts blowing, and it blows in from southwest, normally when it blows in the springtime, oh, gosh, when you got an outgoing tide, an incoming wind, and a bass boat, is just not a comfortable thing to be in on Charleston Harbor.
It is not, and it's not good for them. And that's one thing I was kind of looking out for my equipment. We got a whole rest of the season to fish. I didn't want to abuse my equipment too much of that. But here's one thing I didn't think about, too.
All right.
My goal and my reason not going, I was like, it's fishing tough as a whole. Even the Cooper is fishing tough.
Sure.
But I was like, well, if it's going to be hard to catch five fish, I'd rather have 8 hours to catch them.
Sure.
Than I would three and a half or four.
Yeah.
Well, here's one thing that didn't cross my mind at the time.
Okay.
Well, on the Winyah side, they only bite at low tide. Well, low tide's about an hour.
That's right.
So, really, you end up hanging around and wait on them bite for 7 hours and then actually catching some for an hour. And at least on the Cooper side, they kind of bit all day. So, yeah, it might only be 3 hours, but still 2 hours more than you had on the Winyah side. So, didn't really think about that at the time.
But. That's some good stuff right there. That is some good stuff. Oh, man. Then you go to Lake Fork, Texas. Have you ever been on Lake Fork, Texas before, or was this your first time?
I have never been to Lake Fork, Texas. I have driven by it twice and said I was going to go put in like the last 5 years. I'm going to go fish a half a day there just to see what's about. And I've never put the boat in until that last week.
Wow. How was practice?
Practice was good, but it was very sporadic. Like nearly every day of practice I could have had somewhere between 20 and 30 plus pounds.
Okay.
But I would get 5 to 15 bites in a 20-minute window and then not hardly get a bite the rest of the day.
Okay.
So that's kind of – it was – like, I thought I could catch them if I hit the window, but I didn't know if I'd ever hit a feeding window.
Because you talked about that window all 4 days on live, especially with that, that shallow water herring bite that you were on every, what, every day about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock?
Yeah, so that's what was strange. It was in practice, it seemed like if you didn't catch them by 8:30 or 9, you were kind of done. Like, I wasn't going to get a bite.
Okay.
But by the tournament, it was actually kind of slow early, believe it or not. It just changed like that. Like, it was slow early, and then between, like, 8:30 and 11:30 was lights out. And then they kind of start biting again at about 1:30.
Okay.
So it was kind of strange how they changed like that. But it was Shad's phone related.
Okay.
But still, even after catching so many fish and doing it for so long, I'm not 100% sure the fish were there because of the Shad's phone. I think the fish were on the places.
Okay.
And they were easier to catch when the Shad were there.
Okay.
Versus they were following the Shad there.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Because, yeah, you were doing some of the same stuff everybody does on Lake Hartwell, on Murray. You know, you get those exposed points, the wind blowing up on them, and you know, you were fishing close. I mean, you're fishing shallow a lot of times.
Right. Yeah, I was fishing like a foot and a half to 2 foot deep. But it was a lot like blueback herring fishing, which these fish were eating shad and gizzard shad, thread fins and gizzard shad. But the difference was, so like our fish, I think they, like when the herring spawn's going on, the fish stay up there, they just don't bite.
Okay.
Well, I think these fish didn't stay up there. They would actually run up to these shallow places, feed like crazy for 10 minutes,
leave,
and then come back out.
Okay.
And that's what I joked on live a few times. I said the million-dollar question was, where do they go when they're not up on these places? And then I joked and said, well, actually, it's probably the $100,000 question. If you can figure it out, it's guaranteed that you're going to win. But I never figured it out and still won. But I to this day, I have no idea where they went when they were not feeding.
But they weren't biting, that's for sure.
No, that is a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like actually the place, it wasn't quite to that extent the other days. I could at least get a bite there. But the first day, the place I caught majority of my 31 that first day, I caught them almost in a row when I caught 31. I mean, for 15 to 20 minutes, I caught a fish dang near every cast. But I'd already fished that place twice in the day and not had a bite.
And you hit that window.
And then the third time when I pulled up, one fish came up chasing a gizzard shad across the top, and then for 20 minutes, I mean, I couldn't not catch one throwing up it.
You know, one of the big things they were talking about on live through the whole tournament, and Texas Fest is a little bit different in that you fish Thursday, Friday. It's Fan Appreciation Day on Saturday. You guys are available. You got tons of fans there. And then you fish Sunday, traditionally Championship Sunday, which is really just Saturday, and then you fish Monday. And one of the themes that they on live, they were talking about it, and I joked earlier that we have a Brandon cam on live because it seems like every time live is up, we got a camera in the boat with Brandon. They were talking about your decision-making and whether it was – I don't know. I mean, I often wonder how you guys make a decision to leave, go somewhere else, fish there, stop here, or whatever. But one of the big things you said on – I think it was Sunday – you'd caught your fish, you know, the herring, the shad bite or whatever like that. And you were talking about, and I guess you must have done this the other days and I just didn't hear you, but you talked about, well, this bite's done. I probably could go out deep or run a bunch of these points and find another fish or two or run another, but I know I can go shallow and just fish for one or two bites. And that's exactly what you did. And I don't know if you know it or not, but That 5-plus pounder you caught on the frog was live. And, I mean,
yeah, it was.
The camera was like
the greatest camera shot ever.
Oh, it was incredible.
And the greatest cast. I was pretty proud of my cast on that one, too. I think somehow I made my frog, like, levitate to there without splashing.
It was great. I mean, it was like, ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. And then that fish just came over top and just thrashed that thing. It's great.
Yeah. That shallow bite was, like, I'm not going to call it luck because I knew I'd catch some fish.
Sure.
But to catch the size I caught shallow that third day was not what I expected. So that point, or the point shad one bite, that was how I was catching most of my big ones. But when it got to that 11:30 to lunch period,
right,
there was really no point in fishing points until closer to weigh-in, until 1:30 or 2, because you weren't going to catch one.
Okay.
I mean, it was just that simple. You can run all the points you want, figure blue in the face. You weren't going to get a bite. And it was kind of, I went shallow because I was like, well, if I'm catching fish, I got a better chance to catch a big one, you
sure.
know? And if I stay out there, I mean, I'm just basically waiting on them. So I went shallow just to catch some fish, kind of keep the day moving.
You
know, momentum's a big thing in fishing. If you don't catch one for 2 hours, you kind of lose your momentum.
Yeah.
And I went shallow just to keep catching fish, and I did. And it just worked out where I caught that 5-pounder and then trolled across the 11 on bed, which was, I mean, was awesome. I mean, it was not in any way did I know that fish was there or expect to see it or anything. It just happened to show up. I fished that same bank the day before, and it was not there. So it was a really fresh fish. It had showed up overnight almost. Well, it probably showed up on the off day, because that was one cool thing about
Saturday,
off day. It left
right.
some banks. Yeah, it left some banks untouched for the day.
What did you catch that fish on? I mean, you had when I saw you first start fishing for it, you had a spinning reel in your hand, and I must have looked away for a few minutes. And when I came back, you had a bait caster, and that's when you hooked it up.
Yeah, so I pulled up on it and I saw it, and it was really, really deep. And I said, that fish is over 5 pounds. And then after about 5 minutes, I said, I think that's like an 8-pounder actually. And, looking at it a little longer, I started realizing it was a good bit bigger than that. I didn't mention it to the camera, but I figured I'd wait to see what it was. And so I flipped that a few times, and I bumped it with my bait with the big Z-Crawl.
Okay.
And when I bumped it, I almost like freaked it out, which is not normal. A lot of times that fish, they're locked on that hard. You bump them and they eat it. And I bumped it, and it like completely changed its attitude, like, I'm going to leave.
Oh, wow.
And so I picked up that more finesse bait to throw up there a few times to see if I'd get it locked back on. And looking back now, seeing how big it was, I'm so glad it did not eat it. Is all I got to say. And I threw it a few times. I actually got to rise up on it one time. And when I saw how big it was, like, oh, we're putting the light line back down. We don't want to hook it on that. And I picked up that flipping Z-Crawl again had a 5-aught hook and 25-pound Yozuri fluorocarbon, and figured if it bit, I need a little heavier artillery to get it in the boat.
11-1 personal best. What was your personal best for that one?
Truthfully, I've caught some I think are tens over the years, but the biggest one I've ever weighed for sure on scales to know the exact weight was 90.
Wow.
So it blew that one out of the water.
So I have a 9.3 on my wall. So my personal best was better than Brandon Cobb's for a few years.
Potentially. I can't say for sure if I'd have weighed a few of them.
Sure, I know. Hey, give me my moment in the sun, would you?
mine came out of Lake Jocassee. My 9.9.
Of all places.
Yeah, Lake Jocassee.
Wow. Dude, you caught 114 pounds of bass. No, let's put it this way. Your 20 best fish weighed 114 pounds, and as you told me earlier, on Friday, five of those weighed 14 pounds. So
yeah, exactly.
15
weighed
100 pounds. Goodness gracious.
It was unreal. And honestly, I know the day three, the weight was absurd. I mean, almost 38, 37, 15.
Yes.
Like I couldn't even, I mean, I don't even know what happened that day. I think I blacked out. But the last day, though, was probably one of the most fun days I've ever had fishing. I had right at 30, 29, 15,
yes.
But I don't think I've ever caught so many 5-pounders.
And you were having a ball fishing.
It was. That last day, I mean, I was boat flipping 5-pounders on treble hooks.
Yeah.
And because they were biting so quick, it wasn't worth the time to lip them, but I didn't even know if they'd help. And I'd boat flip a 5, but I don't think so. I'd throw it back, and catch another one.
It was so much fun watching. And I told you, and you're kind of you said I'm kind of the underwhelmer when it comes to talking on live and all. But you... That's what resonates.
I like to call it informative. To call it informative.
Exactly right, because that's what everybody can relate to. I mean, you're just kind of saying, well, here's what's going on, and you know, I got to move here because the bite stopped. And that is just great stuff to watch. If you never watched a Bassmaster Live, I mean, I would say it's the best coverage of bass fishing out there. Definitely over MLF and FLW. I mean, they're just Tommy Sanders, and whether you got Zona or Height or and you got Ronnie and Mike and all, it's just a great thing. But you do just a great job on live. It is just something that anybody can watch and listen to you, and it makes sense. It's just good stuff.
Oh, and by the way, while we're talking about live, I didn't even know about this till on the way back on the plane today, Amy told me. I didn't know she got to be on live.
Yes, she did. I think she had very few words. I think she was because Mercer was like, oh, he's gonna, you know, this is gonna be a good, you know, he's gonna win it. And Amy was like, no, wait a second, because she looked at her watch. She goes, we got another hour and a half of fishing to go, and I don't want to jinx this thing because there's a lot of big fish out there. And and he let her go kind of quick, you know. But Amy got to be on live. And
that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. What does she think about all this?
No, I think this is the first year. You know, I've been doing this for a pretty long time, you know, with FLW and everything. But the magnitude of bass is just a whole new level.
Yeah.
And I don't think until she's seen the fans and the live coverage and everything that bass does, I think she's just now starting to understand how big all this, like the changing trails and the changes this year are, and just the strive bass is making towards changing the fishing world. I mean, really.
It is unreal. What a great year. Seventh in Angler of the Year, which really doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, it matters because you want to finish up there. But winning Texas Fest comes with an automatic bid to the Classic. So you, next, what, March, we're headed to Guntersville for the 50th Bassmaster Classic.
That's right. And then you know what's funny about that immediate bid to the Classic? So, you know, I don't get nervous really on final days or even like no matter what's going on. I mean, it just is what it is. Well, I didn't even know that it was immediate bid to the Classic until Mercer told me on stage the third day. I didn't look at the format very good, and I wasn't even aware of that. And he told me that, and I was like, well, crap, now I'm kind of nervous. Now I got to win. Before, I was just like, I hope I win. And then once I knew that, I was like, well, now I got to win.
Unreal.
It was, that was funny. Didn't even know.
Didn't even know. Oh, man. Good stuff. Well, look, man, you thanks for doing this on such short notice and little sleep.
No problem.
You go get you a nap. I guess you got to leave here next week to go to Tahlequah, and I understand it's what 9 or 10 feet up. But good luck out there. We're gonna, folks. Like I said, Bassmaster.com live is from 9:30 to 11:30, and then 12:30 to 3:30 or something like that. It's just some good stuff. And
hopefully y'all get to watch me.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma,
the Brandon Cobb. Cam will be back.
I hope so. And if not, everybody follow me on my social media.
There you go. What is that?
Keep up with updates. The bad tournaments, I'll put the updates on there. We'll get the rest off live. And the ones that don't go so good, we'll put on there.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, are you gonna ditch Dodge and become a Toyota person now that you have a brand new Toyota? Or are you going to ditch the Toyota and keep the Dodge?
The Dodge is, I've got about 70,000 miles on it, so it's getting time to let it go anyway. Uh-oh. I think we might ride the Toyota out a year to see how it goes.
Yeah, not many of you know it comes with a check for $125,000, an automatic bid of the Classic, and a brand new Toyota Tundra.
It was a good week, is all I can say.
Great week. And in the span of 30 days, you won two elite tournaments. Oh, man. What a way to represent South Carolina. We all knew. Gosh, we all knew when you hit your first Classic and the cups and just the way you fished, when you got a chance to be on the big stage, you're just meant to be there. Congratulations, man, to you and Amy. And we'll look forward to watching you finish out this year, and the future you've got on the Elite Series is bright.
Thank you, and appreciate you having me on. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. And you don't know what it looked. Not many people know this, but on the – I think it's the bottom left-hand corner of your jersey is the Woods and Water logo. You called me back years ago and said, hey, I want to put your logo on my jersey. I'm like, why? Why would you want my logo on your jersey?
And, everyone from now on.
And I'm sitting there watching Bass Live, and I'm looking at my logo going, God, this is so cool. Oh, but thank
from
you.
From now on, it'll be there. We'll save that spot for it.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. And we will do this many, many more times over the years, my friend.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Go get some rest, dude, and safe travels with Hoa. We'll have you back on later, Brandon Cobb. Thanks very much. Talk to you later, bud. Welcome back to a very short fourth segment of Woods and Water Stock. I hope you enjoyed it, talking to Brandon. He is a great guy. I think what I need to do is we need to have Brandon either in the studio or doing a live remote, and we need to have a question and answer. Right, get you guys to call in, ask him a question, give him time to answer. He's just a great guy. Just, man, he's going to be somebody to watch for years to come. Hey, look, I didn't get this in the calendar events, but the 10th annual Saluda River Rally is coming up. It's always a great event down there on the Saluda River. Need to see if I can go do this one. That's the day before my birthday, so maybe. But anyway, June 1st, 10th annual Saluda River Rally. You need to check it out. And with that, we're about done. So thanks for tuning in. Be back next week. And in the meantime, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. And don't forget your camera. Back with more Woods and Water South Carolina next Saturday.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm